Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. But guys, the holiday season is getting closer every day. It's time to start doing that shopping. Head over to collegecornerstore.com. If you need to shop online, or they have two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, they're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet or followed by the Half Shell, and they have got the maroon and white merchandise you're looking for this holiday season for the Bulldog in your life. Shop at College Corner. Humble Taco, Ben 612, Restaurant Tyler. They are all some of the best restaurants in the Starkville area. I'm eating at Restaurant Tyler this Friday. I am really looking forward to that. We've got a big group going over there, and we eat Tyler for lunch all the time, Robbie. It's great. We all love it. But Restaurant Tyler for dinner is a different animal. We're talking about some of the best food you're going to find anywhere. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And if you're in Starkville anytime and you're thinking about a great place for lunch, Restaurant Tyler. Great place for dinner, Restaurant Tyler. So check them out over there on Main Street, right there on the corner of Main and Washington. That is Restaurant Tyler.
And the guest room is probably the best kept secret in Starkville, by the way.
Not enough people know about the guest room, and yet at the same time, it's hard to get in. It's a weird combination. Those of us who know go there a lot. Firehouse Subs. I had to think, it's like, what sponsor is next? Firehouse Subs is what I want to talk about. Great place to go grab lunch each and every day of the week. And, of course, you can pile up reward points when you order with your Firehouse Subs app. Only a couple of home games left for Mississippi State. If you're looking to tailgate and want to add something awesome to it, grab a Firehouse Subs party platter. Just call your local Firehouse Subs and get details on catering. Locations: Starkville and Oxford, Columbus, Tupelo, Flowood, and Madison. It's Firehouse Subs. Mississippi State 39, Auburn 33 in overtime. A game that, as I said to Cole Kublik when I texted him last night, might have been the dumbest football game I've ever seen. It was, I think I actually have that in the things that are true. Hold on a second. I do, so I won't say that particular thing. But just an awful display of football by two teams, neither of which deserve to win. Luckily, Mississippi State escaped with the victory. I'm interested to hear, this is an interesting game for me because normally I sit next to Robbie in the press box. So I have some ideas, we're bouncing ideas off each other. We're talking to each other. I sat in the stadium, the scoreboard club last night, didn't talk to Robbie. So everything he's going to say is fresh for me hearing it. Everything I'm going to say is fresh to him. I'll let him go right now after that debacle of a game. Tell him, fuck.
Well,
okay.
Or is it, well?
I don't know which one you want to go with.
Well, I'm so torn on this game, Brian. The closest thing I can remember to this game was the 2015 Arkansas game. Emotions of jumping out to a big lead, giving up that big lead. Everybody wanted Dan Mullen fired in the middle of that. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people wanted Dan Mullen fired in the middle of that game. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're about to lose on the field goal, block the field goal. That's how this game felt to me. And I cannot figure out where I stand on this game. And there's going to be a lot of conflicting things that I say, and I think that you might say as well, that's not going to make sense because I'm getting pulled in different directions here. Mm-hmm. I'll start with the fact that I continue to beat the drum that this offense is not going to be super effective if it cannot establish a running game. And for the people that say, well, there was a five-man box or there was a four-man box, there was four down linemen, there were six people in the box that you couldn't run against. Well, the problem with Mississippi State is that teams do not respect them running the football. They don't think they're going to run the football. And now they don't have to drop eight. They feel like they can get pressure on Will Rogers and disrupt things. But State cannot be effective offensively in its current state. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by current state, the last three ball games have been truly bad offensive football, and it's very hard to watch. And I said it last night, Zach Arnett does not deserve this offense. I don't think Zach Arnett has been perfect. I don't think his defense has been perfect.
Right.
But that man has earned every dollar that he's made at Mississippi State because he's having to – more often than not, and especially in games like this, he's having to keep Mississippi State afloat because their offense goes long distances without doing much of anything. And that's an issue. And like you've said time and time again, you hire an offensive-minded coach, you should expect better. I do not think this current stage of the air raid works for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big problem on Saturday night. Now, on the opposite side of this, and I don't know, like you said, we haven't discussed anything. I don't know what your thoughts are on any of this. I was impressed with how Mississippi State toughed that game out. I know Auburn is 3-7 or 3-whatever they are. They just lost their coach. But a lesser Mississippi State team, maybe last year's team, definitely 2020, they lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
You've allowed a team to climb back in it. You kind of fall apart there at the end. Mississippi State finding a way to win was a big deal to me. I thought that showed that this team has fight in it. It's got a figure it out mentality, which is great. That's a good thing to have for Mississippi State. And that was a very positive development. State should not have been in that position. And I understand everybody's point of view on that. They should have not been in that position. But the fact that they fought through that was a big deal. And I was very worried about this game. We talked about this weeks ago that Mississippi State needed to play Auburn with Brian Harsin coaching. You do not want to be playing Russian roulette. When is he going to be fired? Because that first week, it just seems like lately, that interim coach gets him fired up. And that's what Cadillac Williams did. He got that team believing. And I knew that was going to be a battle there as the week kind of wore on. I thought State would win by a couple of touchdowns. But I thought Auburn would put up a fight, and they did. Bottom line is, we're going to break down this game in detail. We're going to say a lot of negative things about this game that might make people upset. The bottom line is, once again, Mississippi State is right where we thought they were going to be. They're sitting here with six wins going into the Georgia game, and yet again, all of the spotlight is on that Ole Miss game at the end of the schedule. Got Georgia coming up. That's a big game for State, obviously, but the season, in my eyes, will be defined on that Ole Miss game, and State is still in that same position. Nothing has really changed. The details might change and all that, but I feel the exact same about this team still today.
All right. Agree with a lot of what you said. And there is something to be said. When Auburn got the lead for the first time, I think the general consensus in that stadium was, well, this game is over. So you do have to give a lot of credit to Mississippi State for finding a way to come back and then come back again. Came back twice there in the final minutes to get the win, and then of course in overtime. So I agree with a lot of what you said. So let's see. I do know. I go and tell you we got a disagreement coming. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's jump
in. I have an idea what that might be.
Yeah, I know. Let's jump into them. I got 15 things that are true for today's show. 15, Robbie. I don't normally have this many. Let's just go into it. Number one, Robbie, that was 3-2 with scoring. That was a terrible football game. It
really was.
I mean, bad offenses, a lot of penalties, turnovers, just ugly football. Nothing aesthetically pleasing about that game after Tulu Griffin's kickoff return. Nothing. I'm just, you know, the only difference was there actually some teams, they were able to get into the end zone. What's funny about this game is both defenses actually kind of played better than they did in the 3-2 game.
Yeah.
3-2 game, the offenses were just so inept that the defenses didn't have to do anything. They actually had to make stops in this game.
So. Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to mention. You do have to give a lot of credit to Auburn. I thought their defense was pretty good.
It was salty.
I thought Auburn
made adjustments.
Auburn, Kentucky, and LSU have all they all outcoached Mike Leach defensively.
And Georgia and Ole Miss are going to follow that suit probably.
We'll see on Ole Miss, but Georgia is going to be tough.
Well, sure. What we'll say about Ole Miss is they'll follow that plan. It's just do they have the guns to execute it? We'll see. All right, yep. Number two. This season has been divided between good offense and bad offense. The offense was good in the first six games, five times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been bad every game. Which is the real offense?
I wonder if this is a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
The weather.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we've seen Mississippi State play in this kind of weather, their offense has just been putrid. And again, that is an issue. If you have an offense that is predicated on it, it has to be absolutely dry outside, and you can't do hardly anything.
You better be undefeated in September and October, because November is coming. Yeah,
that's a problem. So,
and on top of that, you know, it's the run game is the biggest question. It literally doesn't make any sense to me that the running game was so effective early on, and you were dominant in those games. And now you have completely forsaken that running game. And you can tell, again, you can tell me all the time that they're lining this many up in the box and this, that, and the other. There just comes a point where you just have to hand the ball off. You just have to. And there has to come a point where Mike Leach calls a running play, and he has to tell, I'm at the point with him where I want him to pull Will Rogers aside and say, we're going to run the ball here. And if you check out of it and call a pass, I'm going to bench you. So run the ball if you want to stay on the field. That's the point I'm at with this offense. They have to make their opponents respect the run. And oh, by the way, when they're running the ball with their running backs, they're doing so effectively.
They're averaging 5+ yards a rush. That's plenty.
That doesn't make sense. It does not. It boggles my mind what is going through Rodgers and Leach's head offensively when they're calling plays.
The people that were disagreeing with that were saying, well, I mean, only an idiot would run the football with those guys in the box. I mean, they didn't even try. Like, it's just like they see that many people in the box, they're not even going to try to run the football. Right. I mean, let's see what happens. I mean, maybe you break through the second level and you get past the linebacker and you got clear sailing. I mean, I'm at least going to try to establish the run.
Yeah.
They ran the football. They had zero design runs out of the locker room for the first three or four possessions.
Oh, we'll get into that in just a minute. We'll get into that. I promise. I have those numbers. Number three, I have it written down as I think we've seen Will Rogers' ceiling. That might be a little harsh. I might be better served saying this. Will Rogers has definitely regressed this year. There's no getting around that. He is not as good as he was last season. I don't know if he's been figured out, if he's been scouted at this point, but even in losses last year, he was throwing for 400+. And this year, I mean, the teams are shutting him down.
I think it's the fact that he's not dissecting the defense as well, like whenever the ball is snapped.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I'll say is an issue for Will is pocket presence.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to know, have an internal clock, I got to get the ball out here. Because a lot of those sacks last night were coverage sacks. I mean, the offensive line was not great.
Right.
And there was a lot of pressure, but you've got to help those guys out too. You got to get it out quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Several of those sacks were just standing in the pocket too long, four or 5 seconds. I mean, on hardly any level, you're going to have that much time.
You can see, even this late in the season, how much he misses Charles Cross.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was fine back there. He was never going to get hit from the blind side with Charles Cross there.
I saw a lot of people were really upset at the tackles. Those guys have been solid this year. I mean, there's only so much you can do when you're throwing the football 50+ times a game.
Yeah.
There's only so often, and guys are pinning their ears back like that.
Right.
There's only so much you can do. Charles was just so magnificent. It it masks the fact that that's very difficult to do.
And now he's in the NFL doing the exact same thing. That's all you need to know. But you're absolutely right. When they know you're going to pass, it's easy pickings to get back there and pressure the quarterback. They're not worried about stopping a run. They're not worried about a draw player being caught out of the running lanes. They know they can just go get Will Rogers.
I mean, Derek Hall did what Will Anderson did last year and some of those guys. He just unloaded. I mean, they just told him, go get the quarterback every play. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the run.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you're just dropping back every play and you're not showing any kind of initiative to run the football, mm-hmm. that is what happens. That's why Mississippi State has games like this, because they do not try to establish a run.
Agreed.
It's not that they can't run it. It's that they don't even try to. And that's a problem.
Right. I agree. 100%. All right, let's do this. Number four. It's going to be really difficult. It'll be exceedingly difficult to find one. But you got to at least look in the portal at a quarterback. And what I'm going to say is this, Robbie. Nobody is untouchable. All right? I mean, it's one thing if you have Bryce Young, right? If you have Hendon Hooker. You got a quarterback like that. Then you don't need to look in the portal. But Will Rogers has not played as well as he possibly could. You can improve at the quarterback position. Now, I don't know who that quarterback is, and I don't know that they would come to Mississippi State. But I'm just saying, Will Rogers is not this untouchable. He's not Dak Prescott. He's not completely locked in, written in Sharpie on the depth chart. He doesn't have to be. You can bring in somebody to compete with him for a job. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm not saying that Will Rogers isn't a good quality college football player. I think a lot of people just don't like Will Rogers. That's not me. But I am saying that Mississippi State, I think Ra-Ra Thomas is really good. But if another wide receiver who's better than him wants to transfer here, you're going to bring him in. I think Jaquavius Marks is really, really good, right? But if Quinshon Judkins wants to transfer to Mississippi State, going to take him. Going to take him. So why is it not the same for Will Rogers?
Well, my opinion on that has been, and you touched on it a little bit, I don't know the quality quarterback they're going to be able to get out of the portal.
Right.
Just because they're looking at that, oh, my God, this dude is the all-time – they're going to look on the surface. They're not going to look at, arm than this guy. I've got more accuracy. I can move in the pocket. They're not looking at that. They're going to see this guy's an established starter under Mike Leach. He's been mm-hmm. there for 3 years. He's broken every record Mississippi State has. I can go in there and beat him. Because if you get a quarterback out of the portal, they feel certain they're going to have a starting job.
Right, and you have an issue if they don't. You have an issue. Yeah. I said that all along. I thought that with Ole Miss, if Dart had not won that job, they were going to have an issue with chemistry. Yes.
That they have hit on just about everybody with their portal stuff. But
correct.
I think that you should always, in this current landscape, you should always be looking to improve your position.
Yeah, I agree.
No matter where that is, no matter who, how many times somebody started somewhere, you should always be trying to upgrade. If somebody shows interest, I'm not saying this person in particular because it didn't work out well, but if a KJ Costello type, a power five starter that's been very successful in the power five, if he wants to come to Mississippi State and thinks he can beat out Will Rogers, you absolutely take him. If you feel like you can upgrade that position, I just have my doubts. And I'm not saying State shouldn't even be considering it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be anybody that wants to touch it.
I agree.
You might get a group of five guy. And that, I mean, if you get a Jack Abraham type, mm-hmm. something like that, that's very attainable.
Right.
But getting somebody that's an established quarterback,
again,
especially like in the Power Five, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very, very difficult because you're absolutely correct. They're just going to look on the surface and go, wait a minute, this guy has set a ton of records there. You know, I don't know, what's going to be the situation. That's going to be on Mike Leach in the recruiting process to make it clear that we believe that you can elevate us at the quarterback position. If you come in and you win the job, and I think you can, then we go from there. So but it's a tough sell. I'm not gonna underplay that it's a tough sell. It's going to be very hard to do. You have to look. You have to. because you can play. There are better quarterbacks. There are going to be better quarterbacks out there than Will Rogers. They're just all.
But here's another thing I'll say.
Okay.
I hate putting all the blame on Will Rogers.
Oh, no doubt.
I've always hated that. After every time Mississippi State plays badly, I feel like it's Will Rogers' fault.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a very, very difficult offense to work in the SEC precisely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's – I think in some ways it's doing Will Rogers a lot of favors. In other ways, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not a very – it's not an offense that's going to be explosive. You know, it's a passing offense that basically runs almost like a wing T or something. You know, it's like the triple option or something, you know, from 1956, you know, and it's something that I don't think really does a lot for the quarterback, but it doesn't, as weird as that sounds. A lot of that, I don't put blame on Will Rogers. I put blame on Mike Leach because he's not doing what it takes for that offense to be successful. He's putting a lot of pressure on Will Rogers.
We're going to talk about a little bit more detail about what you're describing, but you're correct. This offense is so quarterback centric that when it goes bad, all the blame goes to Rogers. And I mean, you're the quarterback. You sort of got to wear that at times, but you're right. A lot, it is disproportionate. I will agree with that. So with that was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I really thought we were about to have another shouting match.
Well, for one, there were so many people that were so angry about that. I mean, I'm trying to – people have just been really angry this year. I don't know what it is.
It's because the team is frustrating, and I think a lot of people thought it was going to be better, and they started off 5-1, and it got people – I mean, you had threads. I mean, I know it's Kang, but you had a thread about, is Mike Leach the kind of coach who could string together national titles? And now here we are 4 weeks later, and you're like, why have we not fired this guy? I mean, it's a frustrating season.
And since I've been following Message Board Geniuses, I've noticed that that's not a Mississippi
State thing. It's not a Mississippi State thing.
That's every team thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, number five. These two stats, Robbie, kill me. So from the time it was 24-3 until about midway through the third quarter, State threw 24 straight passes. On a second down, Jaquavius Marks got a first down on a 12-yard run. State didn't throw it again until midway through the third quarter. That was in the midway through the second quarter. 24 straight passes. Of State's 40 plays that they ran that were first down plays, either start of a possession or they earned a first down, two of them were spikes. So two out of 40 were spikes. So I'm not counting those as anything but spikes. 36 out of 38 were passes. They threw the ball on first down 36 out of 38 times. That is completely unacceptable.
Just yuck.
I mean, this is an offense based on possession and short passes. Why would you not give yourself a chance to be second and six instead of second and 10?
It might have been breaking up that string. Mm-hmm. They ran the football on second and 20 or first and 20, first and 20 or second 20. Like that, the run plays are not put. They're not done.
That makes
put
sense.
Themselves in good position.
Yeah,
and that's what's so frustrating about it. And if that's a Will Rogers thing, it's like you said, you've got to just make the call yourself.
At some point, you're the head coach. If you're what is the Leach thing? You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. You're the head coach. Pull them aside and say, "We're running the ball. If you don't want to run the ball, get out of the game."
And that's why I really dislike how he handles, like, post-game.
Yeah.
We're not going to go on this tangent.
Let's not do that.
It's just it's always the player's fault. At some point, the coaches have to take initiative, too. And I think a lot of those coaches do. I don't understand why Leach won't.
Mm-hmm.
But, a lot of that, it falls on him. I mean, there's nothing that you could be upset about with the defense last night. And that's a defense that gave up 33 points.
Yeah.
And there's not a single person that could blame them.
It started three possessions inside State's red zone. Not in State territory, in the red zone.
Is there a thing on Stat Broadcast that has average field position? I was trying to find it, and then I got busy with something last night. I was trying to find that because I think on five possessions, they started at inside Mississippi State's 35, I think. The offense was constantly putting the defense's backs against the wall. And I thought the defense did everything they could. And then at the end of the game, you saw a defense that was just completely gassed.
They're gassed.
And that's what we see all the time with this defense.
Let's see here. Let me see if I can find it for you, Robbie. Be special teams, maybe? No. Drives. Average field position for Auburn was their own 46. And for State, it was their own 33. Auburn started a drive inside the MSU at the MSU 10, at the MSU 24, at the MSU 14. I mean, that's three drives in the red zone they started. What can you do? There's only so much you can do as a defense when 20 yards scores a touchdown.
This offense in these kind of games, they sabotage the defense.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They kill their own defense.
Well, let's get to number six then. Which has to be Zach Arnett has to be beside himself. That guy is what that guy should be making more than Leach at this point. He's the only reason they're winning. Yeah. He's keeping these teams in the game. I mean, and I know it's like I said, it sounds funny that they scored 33 points and we're talking about this, but if State had played poorly defensively, they'd have lost by four touchdowns.
Zach Arnett is that meme of the lady outside of like Popeyes, like where she's just on the bench.
She's just on the bench, covered in flour, just like
he's just
after a hard day, man.
He comes home, you know, he's got the chickens in the backyard, the cows he's got to deal with.
He does.
And he's just sitting there and he's just like, I'm too old for this crap.
I mean, it's at the point with Arnett where I hate to say this, I'll be surprised if he doesn't find another job.
Mississippi State has realized what he's going through and they're paying him handsomely.
They pay him well, and there is some value to the fact that he is basically left alone. Leach does not meddle with him at all. Stays out.
And that's the thing about Mike Leach. Every coach that works with him loves working for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the one thing I will say about Mike Leach. Like, he is the coach's coach. Like, everybody loves working with him. And that's why he's had such good retention with his coaches, is because he's a good boss to work with, because he just lets them have freedom. And that's why those coaches become great coaches.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, there's a reason. People are changing what he does.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he won't. And that's a problem for Mississippi State. But the good thing is you have a excellent defensive coordinator. There's certainly his faults in his defense, just like it was with Joelie Dunn. He reminds me a lot of Joelie Dunn, not just the scheme that he runs.
Right.
With that, it's going to come some big plays, but I tell you, there's a lot of big plays from that defense too, and they made some on Friday night. I thought a lot of players really stepped up to the plate,
especially in a defensive performance where they didn't force any turnovers, but they still made a ton of big plays. There's no question.
I mean, think about how many times they were in the red zone starting a possession.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama was like that last week, and State did, or 2 weeks ago, State did a really good job.
Yeah.
So this defense, you have a hard-nosed defense, a defense that's never going to be really overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Kentucky game was kind of – they were a little bit, and that was kind of the anomaly. But that defense has played pretty well this year. The numbers might not bear it out, but they've played really well.
Yeah. We were right on our playmakers, too. Nate Watson, double-digit tackles, and then Tyrus Wheat, two sacks, tackles for loss. Just absolutely, we were on that.
I had Jaquavius. We both had Jaquavius Marks. He scored the game-winning touchdown. So.
Yeah, so we'll take
it. Used him more.
Yeah, they should have. Where are we here? Number seven. Robbie, you know me, and you know how my feelings towards officials, right? You know how I feel about the referees. I have never applauded the officials, but as they walked off the field, I gave them a standing ovation because I don't think that pass interference call was pass interference.
It was not.
They won the game for State.
It was not.
That was a cheap, cheap call.
And I think that broke Auburn's back.
It was. That was the end of the game. Yeah. When that was called and the ball's first and goal at the five, the game's over at that point. So
here's what I say, though.
Mm-hmm.
They missed a holding on Jet Johnson on the possession.
They missed a bunch. Yeah, there's no question about that. But that call saved State.
Well, State was trying to win the game in regulation, and mm-hmm. that was a huge holding call.
Yeah.
If it's called, I think State might escape. But yeah. Instead, they missed it, and it was right in front of the official. So I look at it as a makeup call. But it definitely helps State win the ballgame.
I agree. All right, number eight. We'll give Auburn some credit here. I'm going to give Robbie Asher a lot of credit. You tell me if you saw a difference, but in the first quarter, he was running out of bounds. He was getting down early. He was trying to survive. Mm-hmm. By the end of the game, he's carrying the team on his back. State, all they did the whole game was give him confidence. And I think a lot of it came from the offense, of him watching State's offense and saying, I can get this. We can beat this team. But defensively, it's just been a curse all year. And it makes you wonder, coming up with Jackson Dart, what's going to happen in the Ole Miss game. But mobile quarterbacks, they do eat this defense up.
They've got to figure out a way to stop that. That was literally the only thing that worked for Auburn.
Yeah.
Tank Bigsby had a couple of big runs, but the bulk of his yardage came on those big runs. Jarquez Hunter, kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. They ran the football okay, but couldn't pass it. 7 of 22. He was just awful passing the football.
Yeah.
But they figured out, hey guys, if a play breaks down or you see some open field, just take off, because there's not going to be anybody there. Yeah. Everybody's pursuing down the field one way or the other. Either they're pursuing down the field towards the quarterback trying mm-hmm. to get to him, or they're running down the field with the wide receivers. And that's basically they figured that out. They could get a chunk of yards by running the football. And I think he had 2 touchdowns on third down.
I think you're correct. Yes,
inside the red zone. So. Yes. State's got to get better there. That's the one thing that's really killed them this year defensively, is trying to defend a mobile quarterback.
Yeah. And like I said, Stetson Bennett can run a little, but he's not looking to, and their offensive line is good enough. It's not an issue. But Jackson Dart's a runner, so we'll see how that pans out for State. Number nine. It's weird to say this in a game where you made a game-tying field goal with seconds remaining, and you had a kickoff return for a touchdown. But Robbie, special teams just continues to slip every single week. I don't know what's going on with the punters, man. I really don't, but they are in their own head for some reason.
The thing about special teams is this, like, it's boom or bust.
Yeah.
They are either making a incredible play, fantastic play, or they're completely crapping the bed out there. I mean, it's nuts. They had a kick return for a touchdown, a game-tying field goal that was, you know, 44 yards, and he was iced twice, kicked it 3 times. And then they kicked the ball off a guy and got the ball back with a chance to win the game, mm-hmm. which I don't think that was really planned. But
it was
still,
not planned. They said that in post-game, I believe, that it was just a lucky bounce.
They were trying to squib it. But
yeah,
it's crazy how this continues to happen. They muffed a punt. They dropped a snap on a mm-hmm. punt.
Also, they finally put Tulu back there, but he doesn't appear to be any better than anybody else.
He muffed it.
Fielding punts. Yeah,
I think they're going to use either Tulu or Xavion Thomas, regardless moving forward. But Xavion, he must have been hurt or something, because he was like tweeting during the game. So
yeah,
and he wasn't dressed out.
Just it's just really weird. They were good. They were good at the beginning of the season. They had just gotten progressively worse, but they keep having these bright spots. They have these moments, a 44-yard field goal, a kickoff return for a touchdown. So it's just Jekyll and Hyde,
I don't know why they didn't use Ben Raven on that last field goal.
That's a great question. I wish somebody had asked that in post game, because he's already proven he can make from there. Why would you not give him that opportunity? But this is what it is. So, all right, number 10. Robbie, when Mike Leach was hired, one of the things that was talked about was, oh, this offense is great for Mississippi State because you can be really successful without having to have highly rated recruited players. That was a talking point. No question about it. People said that's a reason to hire Mike Leach. He can take lesser players and put up big numbers with them. Here we are in year three, and all I ever see is, well, you know, we got to get better at quarterback. We got to get better at receiver. We got to get better on the offensive line. Which is it? Now, for me, I would never tell you to not go get better players. Better players make it easier. You win with good players. That's how I agree with that. But why is the offense not working with the lesser players like I was told it was in January of 2020? Why is
it's not a personnel issue. And if you have an offense where it takes 3 years before, like we keep hearing, well, it's year three. Well, maybe actually it's year four. That's not good. If it takes that long, which by the way, we were told that the offense is the easiest offense for anybody to learn.
Right. Right.
So it shouldn't take 3 years to develop like that. I feel like there's just an issue there with the scheme and not the personnel. It's you're not fitting your scheme around the personnel that you have, which I feel like is the best offenses do. And that's obviously been an issue for Mississippi State. And what's really frustrating is there's been times this year where the offense has looked really good. I thought last night there was times where the offense looked really good. They were running tempo. Those first two possessions were great. But they can't do it consistently. It's so weird. They'll have those two possessions. They're running tempo. They're getting the ball out quick. They're running the football, gashing the defense a little bit. Defense adjusts, and the offense never adjusts. It's like the entire game is scripted a certain way, and they don't deviate away from the script. That's not good. That's a bad thing for Mississippi State. They've got to figure out something different.
They cannot seem to overcome adversity. Yep. Like I feel like this team is mentally tough in the way they came back last night. But when they, I mean, simple things like if it's 2nd and 8, 2nd and 10, I feel like the drive's over a lot of times. And a lot of what we've said tonight or on this podcast, I shouldn't say tonight, it's still the afternoon. But a lot of these things that we said are things that Joel and I said back in 2020. We're having a lot of the same discussions that we had in 2020. That is not a positive sign.
Yeah.
So if this team is, I don't understand why the we're going to be able to run the offense and do all this stuff with lesser players. Why is it not happening? Why is it not happening? I don't know the answer. I don't know. So,
and again, I mean, like I said before the show, there's a lot of things that we're talking about, like the details or whatever that are issues for Mississippi State, but they're still right where we thought they would be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things are still attainable. It's just that we've seen enough from this team that it's hard to be really positive about the Egg Bowl, which is in 3 weeks, the most important game of the year and probably the most important game of Mike Leach's tenure here. There's a huge one this weekend, but the result of that game is not going to be as important as the result of the Egg Bowl in the end. I mean, that just is what it is because you're competing with Ole Miss on a consistent basis every single day, competing for them with recruits. A win versus Georgia would be incredible. It would be up there with 1980 Bama.
Yeah.
Because you would beat the number one team in the country. That would be unbelievable. But at the end of the day, you still got to beat Ole Miss this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's going to be judged by not what he does against Georgia, but what he does against Ole Miss.
I agree 100%. Number 11. We all agree there's a problem with this offense, right? If you can't watch this offense and go, that's what it's supposed to look like, right? The way they're playing these last three games. So if we agree on that, and if you disagree with that, then your opinion is irrelevant to me because you're wrong. I mean, you can sit there and try to spin it however you want. You're just wrong.
The people that disagree are the ones that you just need to be positive. We need to support the coach. That they're going to stick.
Napoleon is always right.
Yeah, they're going to be the boxers. They're going to be the ones that side with Mississippi State through everything.
So those people's opinion I could care less about because if State fired Leach tomorrow, they would tell me the offense was a problem.
Jim Leach would not be one of those that you're listening to, right? The guy that told me to
F off. I missed this. What?
Yeah.
On Jim on the Leach. Twitter?
Yeah, Jim Leach, L-E-E-C-H. He got mad at me because I said the State should try to establish a run, and he said something to the effect of – one of the things he said was you're dumb if you can't see that they're putting four guys in the line of scrimmage. We can't run against that, whatever. So I came back later and mentioned how State had not even attempted to run the football in the first three possessions, and he just came out with a FU.
No, he sure did. And he blocked you, too.
Yeah, blocked me. Like,
he blocked me. That's the question. Let's see.
Which I've always had to
get me out of the way.
I've always had an issue with people blocking someone they don't follow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. All right.
I mean,
I'm still in.
The person doesn't follow them is what I mean. Like,
right.
Why are you blocking me? I'm not going to be searching your tweets.
Yeah, it's weird. All right. Let me get back to my thing that is true. We agree that there's a problem with the offense, right? The problem is either Mike Leach, Will Rogers, or both. There's no other option. Blame has got to go somewhere. I think it's both. I would say it's like 70-30 Leach to Rogers. But you got to blame one of those two people. You got to suck it up, take a deep breath, put in your big boy pants and say, yeah, those two guys or one of those guys is not delivering.
I believe it's Mike Leach.
Okay.
I think at the when a new quarterback steps in, if it's Sawyer Robertson or whatever, we're going to be having these same conversations. All right, who are we looking at next?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sawyer can't get it done, so is it Braden Lock time? It's going to continue to be the issue because, like I said, I think for all that this thing does to push a quarterback out there and give him some big numbers and all that stuff, I think it hinders a quarterback as well because you're putting all of the pressure on the quarterback. He has the spotlight on him, which it's like that everywhere, but when your offense is 75% passing the football and you're not showcasing the running game, you're not really doing anything to establish the running game, the blame is going to go to the quarterback because he's the one that's handling the ball at all times. He's throwing the football. So everybody's blaming Will Rogers for this, and I think he deserves some. He doesn't play well all the time. But I've always said that, you know, the magnifying glass is on him more than anybody at Mississippi State because of this offense. So I'm blaming Mike Leach when this thing goes bad.
That's fair. I'll take you can blame either one of those guys or you can give them a combination. I don't care. That's just what we have to accept. That's where the blame lies. That's where it goes. On those two guys or on one of them, there's no getting around that. That's where the blame game has to be played. All right, number 12, 13, and 14, kind of connected. We might do them a little bit rapid fire here. Number 12, MSU will not be favored in the Egg Bowl. Right now, Ole Miss probably a touchdown favorite. Maybe a little bit more. Depends on how they look the next 2 weeks.
6.5.
6.5 as it stands today. Here's all you need to know about Ole Miss and Vegas and how little respect they get. Alabama, 2-loss team, struggling on the road, not a good road team this year. Traveling to Oxford on Saturday to play. I haven't looked. I assume Alabama is ranked below Ole Miss, right?
I hadn't looked.
Would you rank?
I had them below. I had Alabama like 11th or 12th.
What would you have Ole Miss? Like 9th?
9th.
Okay. I'm going to assume, you know, now I feel like I need to know. Hold on. I need to know for the purposes of what I'm saying here.
I know what you're saying. And I completely agree with you. No one believes in Ole Miss,
right?
Outside of Ole Miss.
Let me just see. Okay, Alabama. No, I'm wrong. Alabama is 10th. Ole Miss is 11th in the AP poll. That's crazy, but whatever.
Really?
That's hard to believe. But regardless, two pretty close teams. One team is bad on the road. Ole Miss has been good. Ole Miss is a 12-point underdog. Vegas doesn't have any respect for Ole Miss.
That is 4 points lower than Mississippi State, Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's crazy. Right. Yeah, nobody believes in Ole Miss. They just
all right. So
they are where they are because they're 8-1, 7-1, whatever.
Yeah, give them credit for winning the games. They're 8-1.
Yeah.
All right. So 12, they're not gonna be favored. 13, if that holds up, Leach is coaching for his job in 2023. No question about it. If you're 0-3 against Ole Miss, 2023 is the absolute. You have to either win 10 games or win 8 games and beat Ole Miss. Something.
And this is interesting.
Can't lose 4 straight to them.
This is interesting because he's, as far as I know, he's never really been in this position to where he's been under that kind of pressure.
He has not, to my knowledge.
I mean, he got fired at Texas Tech, but it he was
one for wins
winning,
and losses.
He was winning big there. A lot of those people did not want to get rid of him. A lot of those people still
they would take him back right this second. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a little different. You're coaching the SEC. I don't know if he thinks that, you know, he can just collect a check at a place like Mississippi State, but that's just not the case.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see how he reacts to a little pressure.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then last but not least on that, on 14, this isn't 1995. You don't get 5 years to build your program anymore. You know, it's not like we got to come in and recruit our first class and get those guys in the program. And by the time they're juniors and seniors, we're going to be really good. This is the transfer portal era. This is a time when you can build your program in a year. State kind of needs to be like Ole Miss was this past year. They got to find a way to do that. And I don't know if they can. And I don't know that they really have the desire to. But they need an impact pass rusher, either a defensive end or a linebacker. They need some more help in the secondary. They need maybe a quality offensive lineman. They could use some help at the wide receiver position. And then that's not to mention that I think that they should be looking for a quarterback. They got a lot of holes to fill. And they're going to bring back a lot of guys next year, but I don't feel like you can watch this team and just say, I'm right in the, you know, last year, nobody was replacing Charles Cross. There's no point in looking for a left tackle, right? Charles Cross, your left tackle. But this year, who's irreplaceable? Emmanuel Forbes? Well, he's going to be gone next year because he's going to be in the NFL. So the portal needs to be Mississippi State's friend. Honestly, if they can get Isaac Smith and Dante Dowdle in the boat, I don't know how many more high school kids you really need to be going after at that point. You need to really be focused on the portal, I think.
Yeah, they need to hit that hard, and they've got to get some
difference
impact players. Yeah.
They've gotten good players from the portal thus far. I think Jalen Green, Randy Charlton have been good players.
Was Jalen Green out there last night?
He must have been hurt or something. He and Jackie Matthews both did not play much. A lot of Sean Preston, who I thought played well.
I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were running the football so much, and those guys were just
– Yeah, I agree.
But I just didn't notice hardly any safeties last night.
Also, and I don't know if there was an explanation, I was really surprised that it was Esaias Ferge getting the start at corner and not Marcus Banks.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I thought he played well, though.
I thought he played okay, yeah. So, last but not least, we'll finish with some positivity. Incredibly, despite everything we just said, despite all that negativity, despite as badly as they played last night, despite as badly as they played the last three games, they still have a chance to be 8-4 and go to a good bowl and improve upon last year. It's all about beating Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not an unbeatable football team. All right, they're scary because of the way they get out to fast starts, but you can move the football and score points and come back on Ole Miss. You can do it, and they're going to have to Thanksgiving night.
This isn't Ole Miss's team from last year.
No.
At all. This is a team that you can get some empty possessions with your defense against. I think you can move the football against their defense. You can score points. It's just about execution, and pray to God that it's not raining.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a little bit of a hot take here.
Oh, okay. I want to hear it.
I think State comes out Saturday and plays really well against Georgia.
I think it's a sort of hot takey, but I think it's sort of based in reality. And I'll tell you why. Two things. One, they'll be fired up to play. It'd be a big crowd. But two, Georgia, I don't think Georgia is a team to have big letdowns, but they played a really good game at home against Tennessee. They have to come down from that just a touch. Prior to that game, they had not played particularly well, right? Against Florida, they weren't great. And against Missouri, I'm leaving somebody out that they had a close one with.
They had a non-conference game that went to Kent State or something.
Kent State, yeah. They haven't, I don't know that they've played back-to-back games where you're just like, man, that's the best team in the country.
I don't think there's anybody in the country that's unbeatable.
No.
Ohio State was awful on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah,
Georgia's had some bad games.
Yeah,
I've felt weird about this game since the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I've just felt like State could compete in this ball game, and I don't really know why so much. But I think that it might just be hope more than anything. they're going to play
do that crazy
better.
Stuff, right? Where they show up for a big game, and sometimes they make big upsets. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's really the line of scrimmage is the big deal.
I agree.
Can State block up front? Can they stop Georgia from running the football? Can they stop the tight end? That's kind of the big thing, because Georgia's going to throw the ball around a little bit too. They like to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so State's going to have to make some big plays. I mean, you really need Emmanuel Forbes back. I don't know how long he's going to be out. He was on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
looked like he was in good spirits and stuff. So maybe he's back relatively quick, but
yeah, I agree. We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's move on into the last part of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. My friend Alex Watson over in Tupelo, Robbie, she cooked 35 pounds of prime rib today on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
For her church dinner. They had their bishop in town, and they put her in charge of the most important thing, and she nailed it. And fantastic-looking stuff, as I saw on Twitter. And then, you know, I mean, the weekend is all about the beef, man. If you're cooking out, if you're on the grill, beef is where it's at. Steaks and burgers, everybody loves them. But, hey, you got these night games. That's plenty of time to do something big up on the grill, a big, you know, brisket. Maybe even you can do the poor man's brisket. Do a little chuck roast. Do a little tri-tip. Do something like that. All sorts of great stuff. And it all starts with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Mitts. Smoked mitts? What are smoked mitts? Those gloves, like catcher's mitts? You got to smoke them? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, maybe they've been. Maybe you left the oven mitt sitting on the griddle or something.
Smoke
a little bit. Yeah,
a little smoked mitt. Well, if you want smoke,
or maybe mitts. You know, I know some people that when they smoke cigarettes, they immediately have to go wash their hands. Maybe you have a mitt that you smoke the cigarette with, so your hands don't smell like smoke.
That might just be like $1 million idea. It keeps
it really does.
Keeps
it
your
really
hands
does
from stinking. Well, let's talk about smoked meats instead, though, at Two Brothers over there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great weather all week, so a great time to head out on the patio, enjoy yourself this weekend at Two Brothers. I imagine it will be an absolute madhouse with all the people that are going to be in town for the Georgia game. Make sure you're a part of it. Get there early, grab your seat, and enjoy yourself and enjoy a fantastic meal every time you're out at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Advantage Business Systems delivers on it and has done so for 47 years. That's a long time. Long time. Not a long time to be alive, but a long time to be in business. And you only do it when you take care of your customers. So when you want to be treated like a neighbor and not a number, you'll call Advantage Business Systems. A lot of times when you're talking about service, you're dealing with the same person who made you the sale. So you have that relationship, you know each other, and you know how to, and they know how to take care of you and your business. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. One thing I learned this weekend, by the way, being up in the scoreboard club, is Adidas, not a lot of Adidas polos up there. You can tell there's a lot of people buying polos from places like The Rogue and their collegiate collection. And I'm just not surprised. Now, that being said, I was wearing an Adidas polo and I was wearing a Banner M, and I'll wear that because, for one reason. You guys find me a polo that has the stuff that I like on it in my size and I'll wear it. But until that day comes, I'm kind of stuck with what I got. That being said, if I could, I would buy from The Rogue, because they have the best looking collection of polos and quarter zips that I've seen from, and a lot of companies getting in on this market right now, but The Rogue kind of stands above them. So check them out, especially talking about this holiday season. Guys, you will make someone's day. You'll make dad's day if on Christmas Day he opens up a polo from The Rogue with the script state or the M over S on it. So check them out, The Rogue in Jackson, therogue.com, or The Rogue JXN on Instagram. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. The Rogue is important. Advantage, our sponsors are important. But right now we're going to talk about something else that is important. All right, Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by our good friends over at Strange Brew Coffee House. Start your day the right way. The trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bolton.
Yes, it would. Reminds me of our good friend Chris Bolton.
Ah, yeah, I miss Chris. Good guy up there covering the Kentucky.
Great guy.
Yeah, I messaged him the other day. Talked to him for a few minutes on text. Wherever you are in our great state, if you want Strange Brew Coffee, it's just a click away. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and they'll ship it right to your door. This holiday season, if you got a coffee lover in your life, you need to shop at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. We have a special bonus edition today, Robbie, of Coffee is for Closers. We've got three teams getting, we got three bonus teams.
Ooh.
So, very exciting to not hand out some coffee. For state, it's offense. Leach, Rogers, the whole team. All of them. Marks maybe can have coffee. Game-winning touchdown, and the limited times they let him run the ball, he was good. But the rest of that lot, no coffee for them.
They had some good moments on offense.
The first quarter.
I thought the punters were just bad all the way around. I might hand it out to the punters this time around. But, I mean, it's your deal.
You know, well, how about we just throw the punters in? Yeah, we don't have to
do punters have to. And punters in the offense.
Everybody but the defense and Woody Marks. No coffee. All right, done. And Zach Arnett, he can have coffee. SEC. I can't believe Arkansas stood by and watched as Liberty did that to them.
Jerry Falwell Jr. would be really excited.
He would have enjoyed that. Wow. Wow. That is a big win for Liberty. We make all the jokes we want about the Falwells and Hugh Freeze and all that. That's a big win to go into an SEC stadium and get a win like that. Very impressive. Arkansas, I was way off on them, and now they're in real trouble because I don't think they're beating LSU. They still have to play Ole Miss.
Ole Miss game is interesting. That's probably their
– Yeah. And these games are at home, but I don't know, man.
Are they – they're 5-4?
That's correct.
And they have
– LSU.
Who else? So they have LSU.
Ole Miss.
LSU and Ole Miss.
And Missouri. I mean, they could be 5-6 playing Missouri trying for them to be bowl eligible.
Because Missouri's defense is so good.
It's good.
Ooh, that's going to be – Yeah,
they got to find a way to outscore Ole Miss.
I really like Sam Pittman. I think he's a really great guy.
I do too, but the bloom is off the rose there.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you know, he has one more win than actually. Leach. I think he and Leach have the same.
It might be close, yeah, because Leach is 6-3 this year. So State was 4-7. Leach and Pittman was 3-7. Remember, their bowl got canceled, so he's one up. Last year, he would have been 2 up on Leach, so he would have been 1 up for the career.
I think he's 17-15, and Leach is 17-16.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
So, I mean, they've had basically the same. And he's been terrible against top 25.
Yeah. Nationally, I've been waiting a long time to get you, Clemson. I've been waiting a long time for you, Dabo, to have no coffee. We're just sprinting down the hill in front of your team. By the way, a buddy of mine made this point. Is there anything more diametrically opposed to the way Dabo Swinney enters the field and the way Mike Leach enters the field?
It could be. It couldn't be any different.
Dabo sprints out 100 yards in front of his team. Leach is coming out of the locker room 2 minutes after his team's on the field.
How about Leach unfolding all the chairs?
I don't know.
Yesterday.
That's just another. That was interesting. Thing. But, yeah, Clemson absolutely humiliated up in Notre Dame. Give Michael Borky credit. He called that on Friday. I was really surprised, but he did it. So, Clemson, after a long time of wanting to put them here, but they never lose in the regular season, we'll give it to them. And then we got our bonus ones. They're all in the SEC. Special bonus. Note to the LSU fans, the team deserves all the coffee with chicory they can have down there. But have some damn self-respect. You've rushed the field twice now. One was for beating Ole Miss.
That was bad.
That's embarrassing. And then you're a top 10 team. You're the number 10 team in the nation. You're playing the number 6 team in the nation. That does not warrant a field storming. I know it's Alabama. I know what they've done to you in the past. We all can show on the doll where Alabama touched us. But there's no reason to rush the field again.
It's
embarrassing. You're LSU. You won the national title 3 years ago.
They've been really weird this year, like weirder than usual.
Yeah.
I mean, like early in the season, like immediately they wanted to fire Brian Kelly. Yeah. Coming to that State game, nobody there thought they were going to beat State. Everybody was scared to death.
And now?
Until the fourth quarter. And then they acted like they won the national championship in that game. And then now they've just gone off completely off the rails. They're just rushing Hayden the field
Daniels
every week.
Has gotten better. And now Brian Kelly, when I look at that program, might have finally somebody who can go head to head with Saban. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
He's gonna be very good.
Their fans no coffee because going on the field twice in 3 weeks is ridiculous. That's back to back games for them where they've stormed the field. You're not Clemson. It's not a tradition.
I think $500,000 now. Yeah. Fine.
The SEC, you know, they've got that thing that they're putting together, that committee. The easiest way there's two ways to end this completely. One, make the fines just ridiculous. $20 million.
Godly.
Imagine.
They will do everything. They would have
the National Guard around the field.
You put the dude that was standing in front of the goalpost, like 10 of those around the stadium.
Yeah. And then the other thing you can do is like, if you do it once, it's a fine. If you do it twice in a 5-year period, you lose bowl eligibility for the year.
Yeah, that'll stop that.
It'll stop it quick. So
you're going to the college football playoff and all of a sudden you're not
going anywhere. Yeah. My other one goes no coffee for the coaching staffs at Alabama and Auburn. Now, you couldn't have any more opposite coaching staffs, right? You got Nick Saban, who's won it all, the greatest coach in college football history. You got Cadillac Williams in his first game, right? But they made the same mistake. They chased points in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Both of those teams would have won their games in regulation if they had just kicked extra points. But both of those teams, trying to play the math and play the analytics, went for two and didn't get it, and they end up losing those games in overtime. Just, I understand there are times when you have to go for two later in the game. In the second quarter, just kick the extra point. Just play the game, kick the extra point, and assume that you will score more. You're not winning the game 17-14, Alabama. You're not going to win the game, you're not going to win the game with that 2-point conversion. Just play the game, kick the extra point, and continue to play. It cost them both. So no coffee for the coaching staffs there.
Bill O'Brien is really underwhelming. I knew that was going to be.
And his name keeps coming up as a potential offer.
Oh, I could see that. I could see Cohen.
That's a Cohen hire. That's a Cohen hire.
And who was the other one?
Grimes.
Jeff Grimes.
Those are Cohen hires.
Oh, my God. That would be a disaster.
I'm not sure what I want. There's so many opportunities for comedy with this Auburn hire. Kiffin leaving Ole Miss is funny, right? Freeze coming in is funny, but them going that way and going the offensive coordinator route is also funny. So
the offensive coordinator, that's like old school mentality offensive coordinator.
Right, right, right. So we'll see. No coffee for Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Clemson, Arkansas, and Mississippi State outside of Marks and the defense. Do we pick different this week on the pick'em?
Yeah, you pick. We had like two different ones.
What were they? I had Kentucky.
One of them was Tennessee, Georgia. You picked Tennessee, I picked Georgia.
Oh, it's over then. What's the other one? Did you pick Missouri?
Yes, I think I did.
All right, so we split. So I'm still three down then.
Well,
yeah.
You were two down, right? You were two down.
I was two down?
I'm going to have to go back and listen.
I think I'm three down. I'm pretty sure I'm three down.
Okay. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
It's going to be tough. But anyway, we'll go through that tomorrow. We'll talk about Mike Leach's press conference and anything else that pops up between now and then. Guys, have a great rest of your Sunday and into Monday. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.